Today's daf is Baba Kama, daf Pei Vav. We are a little bit behind, so let's try to make up some ground. Daf Pei Hei Amud Beis. We are at the two dots. We got to the two dots. Tan Rabbanan. Sheves Ro'un Oso Kilu Hu Shomer Kishun. When it comes to evaluating Sheves, we look at him, we evaluate him as if he were a watchman of cucumbers. He's just meaning the most simple, easiest, lowest paying job we can imagine. Someone just watches over a cucumber patch. Then Tomar, Loksamita Sadin, maybe you'll say, no, but that's not really fair. That's not, why is that equitable that we're going to pay him as if he were a Shomer Kishun? He's not a Shomer Kishun. Dechi Mitbach, when he gets better, Hai Gavra, Lavagra de Shomer Kishum Hushakil, El Adali Davl Vishakalagra. He wouldn't get paid the wages of someone who's a Shomer Kishum. No, he would go and take his pail and be able to draw water, and that's the kind of wages he would draw. I mean, apparently, he would get wages that are somewhat higher. Apparently, when someone draws water, they get higher wages than a Shomer Kishum. Inami, another possibility, Azal B'Shliach V'Shakilagra. Maybe he would be a messenger boy, and people who are messengers get more money than a Shomer Kishum gets. So maybe you're going to say that it's not fair that when we're evaluating his Sheves, his time off from work, we're evaluating as if he had the lowest paying job possible. Says Gemara, Midas Hadin Lo Laksa. No, don't worry, the Midas Hadin is not affected. It is not unfair. Shekvar Nasan Lo Demeyado, Demeyra, because when you give him the value of his hand, the value of his foot, wherever you caused the injury, it takes into account if he had any high-paying job. That would that's already covered in the value of his hand and the value of his foot. If the guy's a surgeon, so the value of his hand is obviously very high, and we already take that into account when we discuss the value of his hand. But when it comes to the Sheves, so we're only going to, therefore, what's left is only to evaluate the most basic menial job that a person could have. There's a discussion over here, Rashi and Tosos, in terms of what are we saying that he could be, he could draw water, or he could be a messenger. Those are the highest paying jobs we could think of. Why does the Gemara give those examples? So Rashi seems to understand that when we say he can draw water, he could be a messenger, we're saying that even after his injury, meaning the Gemara understood that the job he had before his injury, the Gemara understood full well that was obviously included in the evaluation of his hand. The Gemara is saying that even after his injury, he's going to be able to do a better job than a Shomer Kishuin. That even after his injury, he'll at least be able to draw the water, he'll be able to be a messenger, and as soon as his injury heals enough, he'll be able to at least do something like that. Whereas Tosos understands differently. Tosos says, "Dechi mitva chai gavra." It's a very brief Tosos, but you see where he's coming from. He says, "Kolomar bitchila." And no, we're focusing on what he was before his injury, not what he's going to be able to do after his injury. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rava, Kita as Yado, Nosin Lo Dmei Yado. If you cut off the guy's hand, so you pay him the value of his hand. The Sheves, Ro Nosu Kilu Shomer Kishuin. And when it comes to evaluating the Sheves, we look at him as if he watches cucumbers. Shiveris Raglo, Nosin Lo Dmei Raglo. When you break his leg, so you pay the value of his leg. The Sheves, Ronoso Kiilu Hu Shomer Es HaPesach. And when it comes to the Sheves, we evaluate him as someone who's a doorman. Why Dafka a doorman as opposed to a Shomer Kishuin? Because when he breaks his leg, when he has no use of his leg, so he's unable to even be a Shomer Kishuin. One of the basic requirements of a Shomer Kishuin is that he at least has to be able to walk up and down the field. But if he's Shiber's Raglo, as Rashi says, V'shuvein Roy Lishmer Kishuin, Shetzarech La'alich Saveh Vagina, he's not even able to be a Shomer Kishuin anymore, because a Shomer Kishuin at least has to be able to walk around the garden. But he's unable to do that now, so we view him as a Shomer at Pesach, that he's able to do. Simas Eino, if you blind his eye, Nosin L'dmei Eino, you pay for the value of his eye. And what about the Sheves? V'sheves Ro'un Osokilu Hu Matchino Berechayim. And the Sheves, the amount of time that he's out of work, we evaluate him as if he were Matchino Berechayim, as if he were someone who were grinding by a mill. So that's apparently, you don't need to have eyesight in order to be able to do that. So whatever job you could do with as a blind person. Chirsho, if you make him deaf, then you pay his entire value. I mean, apparently making him deaf is so much worse. It's not just Dmei Eino, it's not just Dmei, Dmei Yado, Dmei Raglo, but you pay the entire value. Says Tosos, Girshu Nosana Dmei Kulo, Al Karchok Lo Mari Boso Shekitas Yado Vashiberes Raglo Vesime Eino. We're not talking about the same guy. It's not that each case is building on the previous case, that you break the guy's, you cut off his hand, then you break his leg, then you blind him, and then you make him deaf. Ela filu ba'adam shalem, dumya desima einam. No, we're even talking about a regular guy that you just go and you made him deaf. Similar to the case we had before of a regular guy who you made blind. Just like by the blind case, we weren't building off of the previous cases. How do I know each case wasn't building off the previous case? Because in the case of Sima Eino, we said you pay him like Marchino Berechaim. Marchino Berechaim gets paid more than a guy who's a Shomer HaPesach. So obviously we're not talking about when you blind a person, someone who you've already broken his leg and you're only paying him like a Shomer HaPesach. So clearly the cases aren't building off of each other. Okay, given that, says Tosav the following kasha, Vitema. Talking about a guy that you did nothing to but make him deaf, and we're saying you pay him his entire value, which implies that when you make him deaf, you make him absolutely worthless. Right, so the implication over here is that a cheresh is worth absolutely nothing. But yet, when it comes to in erichin, when it comes to the value of a cheresh, the Gemara assumes that a cheresh does have value. You're allowed to be need of an erach based on their value. So apparently, a cheresh does have value. So it's a stira. Apparently, someone who's a cheresh b'dei shemayim, someone who goes naturally deaf, such a person has value. When it's a cheresh b'dei adam, when someone hit him and made him a cheresh, then he loses all value. I'm not sure why there should be such a chiluk. Meaning, normally cheresh b'dei shemayim, there are two types of cheresh b'dei shemayim. Cheresh b'dei shemayim could be he's born deaf, so he could be that he learned to be educated as a as a deaf person his entire life and he was used to it, or it could be just that he gets sick. That's also cheresh b'dei shemayim. So I'm not sure why there should be a difference. I can understand the difference between someone who's born deaf and someone who becomes deaf later on in life, although I would have reversed it. I would have imagined that if you become deaf later on in life, you have more value because at least you can speak, whereas if he's born deaf, this is before they had all sorts of education for deaf people, so and ways of allowing them to communicate, so people would go mad. That's why Cheresh is Din of Ashota, right? That he'd go crazy because he can't communicate with anybody. I'm not sure what the chiluk is. I'm not sure what Tosfos is referring to. The chiluk between the Cheresh B'Adam and Cheresh B'Shamayim, someone later on in life becomes deaf. I don't know why it would make a difference whether he was made deaf by another person or he just got sick. Meaning, if he has no specific skill, maybe that's why when you make him deaf, he becomes worthless. If he has no particular marketable skill, whereas when he has some sort of skill, so then when you make him deaf, at least he's still able to do that. How do we know we're talking about someone who has no particular skill? Because look at the examples the Gemara gave of what kind of job the guy would have, that he'll be able to schlep a bucket. Anyone could schlep a bucket. That's not a skill. So we're obviously talking about someone who has no given skill. Okay, the answers don't really explain fully well why it is that a cheresh is worthless. Why is a cheresh more worthless than a suma? I'm not really sure. Okay, by Rava, kitas yadav lo amduhu. Let's say you cut off a guy's hand and they never evaluated how much it was worth. Shibir sragal lo amduhu. You broke his leg and they never evaluated how much it was worth, how much of a damage he did. Simas einov lo amduhu. And then you go and you blind him, and again they never did an evaluation. Ulu b'sov chirsho. And then you make him deaf. Mahu, what's the din? Do we say, well, since they never did an umdana before, you could just do one big umdana now, v'yavle d'me kule, ba'de adadi, and just give his value, the entire value of the person all at one shot? Or maybe no, maybe you have to break it down and do an evaluation of the arm, an evaluation of the leg, evaluation of the eye, and then the evaluation of Deme Kulo. Rashi, even though when it comes to Nezek, it's not really a difference. Because with each subsequent injury, his value goes down further. So therefore, by the time you get to the making him deaf, he had very little value to begin with. So it's always going to be the same. If he started out worth $200, and after injury number one, he's worth 180. After injury number two, he's worth 120. After injury number three, he's worth 60. And after injury number four, he's worth nothing. It's the same thing as going from 200 to nothing. So that doesn't really make a difference. But the nafkamina is going to be the mesav leitzar boshas for each one. Do you have to pay tzar boshas separately for each of the injuries, or do you pay one lump sum? That's what the Gemara says. Nafkamina to buy the mesav leitzar boshas to kol chada v'chada. Nihi de nezek for ripoy v'sheves to kol chada v'chada lo yavin alei. Grant the nezek, the ripoy, and the sheves of each one. You're not going to give him to keep him the kayav le to make kulei. Because once you're paying him his entire value, so it's as if you've killed him and you're paying him his entire value. But saru boshas mi'as to kol chada v'chada yahiv. But sarum boshas is not about value, it's about an experience. He experienced pain for each one. He experienced embarrassment for each one. So maybe the tzara boshas of each one you should give to havle tzara boshas, because bottom line, he experienced the tzara boshas with each one. Vimtim silomar kivin dela amduhu kayav le demei kule ba'de adai amduhu mahu. And if you're going to say that when you're, since you did not evaluate each one previously, so you should just give one lump sum at one time, so what if amduhu, what if you did evaluate, but he never actually paid? What's the din then? Do we say that since you went through the evaluation, so therefore you should give each payment? Or maybe since you never actually paid it before you did the subsequent injury, so you should just give the entire value at one time. So the Gemara leaves it as a teku. So how do we pass when you have a teku? So a couple of things. First of all, whenever there's an imtim tzilomar within the teku, so we always pass like the imtim tzilomar, meaning if you have, the choice could be A or B, and if B, is it C or D? So there's a reason why the Gemara explores the if B and not if A. Right, if B is it C or D, means that we probably paskin like B. It means the Gemara is leaning in that direction. Meaning, even though the Gemara didn't answer the question, it gives hints sometimes in as to which direction it's leaning. That's one of the hints when there's an imtim salamar. So certainly in the first imtim salamar, that loam duhu, we would paskin you pay dmei kule. But the shaila is in the case of amduhu. Do you pay dmei kule ba'de adadi, or do you pay separately for each one? So the Rambam paskins, as he normally does by a teku, that you don't. That we're going to paskin the kula. He's not going to be able to collect the larger sum of money. But because it's a teku, itafas lo mafkinan mine. If the person takes the law into his own hands and decides to grab on to the larger sum of money, he takes it away from the other guy, so we're not going to make him return it, because we're not, maybe he, Taka, is entitled to it. We don't know. That's the nature of a teku. The Rush, interestingly, says, mistavra to command the gavu dami, that it's mistavra that once they're amduhu, once they do the evaluation, it's as if it's been collected, and therefore you have to pay the whole thing. So he says mistavra that you should have to pay the larger sum of money. So Yamshel Shlomo gets a little bit excited about that rush. Here you have a Gemara. The Gemara asks the Shaila. The Gemara says, we don't know. Gemara leaves it as a teku. And the rush says, yeah, but I think it's mistavra, like one side and not the other side. So Yamshel Shlomo says, we don't do that. Rishonim aren't supposed to do that. When the Gemara leaves something as a teku, then you have to deal with issues of safek. You can't assume that you're going to be able to be poshe to Shaila that the Gemara wasn't poshe. That far we don't go. So we mentioned yesterday, Yamshel Shlomo's style very much is not to show that much respect to earlier generations, but that's in terms of Rishonim. And the Yamshel Shlomo is loyal to the Gemara. He says, whatever the Gemara says, that we have to study. We have to study the Gemara. We have to. We can't argue on the Gemara. Rishonim, we can study and argue on. We don't have to necessarily agree with the Rishonim. See, Yamshel Shlomo all the time argues on every Rambam, and the Rush isn't, he has no problem with that. But the Gemara he's going to be loyal to. The Gemara left it as a teku. It means we're not supposed to try to be poshet. That's a question. This teku is different than kasha. It's different than another lashon. Teku means, sometimes the Gemara will say kasha, the Gemara will leave something as a suffix. So if the Gemara leaves something as a suffix without the word teku, for instance, we've pointed out in the past that suffix, you'd say suffix d'rabbanan l'kula, suffix d'raisa l'chumra. By teku, in the Klalei Rush, that's printed in the back of Masechta Shabbos, so it says that by teku, we always go l'chumra. That a teku, even if it's on a d'rabbanan, you'd always go l'chumra. Because the word teku means that it's supposed to remain unresolved. So that would be a problem for the Rush, meaning we're supposed to leave it unresolved. You're not supposed to say, I'm a stavra this way and therefore I'm going to paskin that way. No, you leave it unresolved. Your dafka is supposed to leave it as a standing question. So, meaning that's why Safik Rabbanan would even be l'chumra, because if you're going l'kula, you're resolving the issue. L'chumra, you're saying that we're being cautious. You would go l'chumra when you don't know what to do. Okay, let's go back there. Bayi Rabba, Sheves ha-pochasto b'damim mahu. What if you cause him to lose work, you cause him to lose value, you hit him a maka that causes him to take off from work, but eventually he'll go back. Eventually he'll be worth, the wound will heal and he'll be fine. So so the entire damage that you did is only temporary. It's only in the sheves that you're causing him to lose work now. But very often, if you know that a guy's going to be out of work for 6 months, so his value is going to be less than someone who won't have to be out of work for 6 months. So it's not a permanent lessening in his value, but it does cause lessening to his value, not just sheves. The sheves has a domino effect on his value. So what do you do in that case? Hechidami, konshi kol yado v'tzamsa yado, that he hit him on his hand and it dries out, v'sof v'lachzor, and eventually it'll get better. My, given the sof v'lachzor lo yov lev lo midi, odil mahashem yas avchasei. Do we pay a nezek payment or not? Do we say that since eventually he'll be fine, so there is no real long-term lessening in value? Or do you say, no, right now he's worth less than he was? So tashma hamaka v'imav lo sven chabura. If someone hits his mother or father and doesn't make a wound, or someone is chovel in his friend on Yom Kippur, so chayiv b'kulam. The halach is you can be chayiv in all of the chamisha dvarim. You can be chayiv in nezek tzar ripo shavas boshas and everything, because you're not chayiv misa in either of those cases. Yom Kippur, it's not a misa b'dei adam. And of the imo, if you didn't make a chabura, there's no chayiv misa. So hay lo asa chabura hechidami. What's the case where you hit a parent and you didn't make a chabura? Lav. Isn't that talking about a case where you hit him in a way that it's going to be healed, that he called al yado and eventually will be healed? And we see that in that case there is not only a sheves payment, there's nezek tzar ripo sheves and boshes. You pay everything. So apparently you do pay for devaluation, even though it's not long term, even though it's only temporary. So says Gemara, amri hachamayskinon gon shechir shuv losa b'chabura. No, the case that we're talking about hitting a parent is where you make them deaf. Losa b'chabura means there's no physically evident wound that you left on them, but you made them deaf. Now and it's therefore a permanent damage that you've done to them, and that's why you pay chamisha dvarim. But if you left a physical wound that will heal, so then maybe in a chinami there's no chamisha dvarim, so it's not a ray at all. I've amraba choreshes aviv neherag fishi efshal charisha below chabura tipsa dedam l'nafle buunei. But then Rabbah say that if you make your parent deaf, your chayiv misa, that is called making a chabura, because after all, a little bit of blood must have dripped somewhere inside the ear, in the internal, in the ear canal or something, in which case and that's what you're chayiv misa for. So don't tell me the case of wounding a parent where you're not going to be chayiv misa is a case where you make them deaf. No, when you make a parent deaf, you are chayiv misa. So that can't be the case that we were talking about by the case of Hamaka Avim of Los Ben Chabura. So Ella, what must the case be? The case is you shaved your parent. You tell you shaved your father. So gilcho mahadar hadar v'hainu bayit. So that's going to grow back, obviously. And that's exactly our shayla. Right now, you've made him worth less because he doesn't have his beard. And having a beard was very important. But eventually, it will grow back. And therefore, that's exactly our shayla. Do we say that you have to pay for devaluation of him, even though it's only temporary? So amri hachamayiskinon. Now the case is not necessarily our shayla. The case is where you made him lose his hair by rubbing some sort of ointment on him where it's not going to be able to grow back. So you're going to pay tsar payments because it causes some sort of pain. The ointment that you put on him causes him to have all sorts of cracks in his skins in his skin on his head, and therefore he's gonna suffer pain from that. So you have to pay for that tsar. And there's some sort of refuah that he needs for that as well. And sheves tava merakid bekovi debaya machvi gavni aresha v'lo machvi mahanu kartufni. And there's a sheves payment because maybe he worked worked as a clown, and as a clown he had to do all sorts of things where he showed his head and where he tilted his head one way or the other, and he can't do all of his moves now because of what you did to him. And Boshes, Ein Lecha Boshes Gadol Mizeh. And when it comes to Boshes, well, there's no greater Boshes than the removal of all of his hair. So that must be the case. That must be the case where you chayev chamisha dvarim for doing something to a father, for makav v'imo, and we're not talking about a case of where you temporarily cause a devaluation of the parent. We're talking about a case like that where you took off his hair using some sort of ointment where you're going to have all five payments to worry about. So a couple of things. First of all, the idea that you're chayev for a parent for making a chabura. So what did the Gemara say? That if even a drop of blood falls inside of his ear, so you're going to be chayev for misa. That's called making a chabura on the parent. So there's a discussion the Netziv has in his Pirush on the She'iltos. What it means to make a chabura. Does chabura mean you draw blood? Blood has to come out. Or does it mean that any blood moving even inside the body in the wrong direction? For instance, a black and blue mark. So would that also count as a chaburah? So, and Ziv says, if you look at the lashon of the chinuch and the lashon of the she'iltos, it sounds like you need hotza'as dam. You need actual blood to come out in order for it to qualify as a chaburah. But he points out that other rishonim doesn't sound that way. And from our Gemara, it certainly doesn't sound that way. We're saying maybe there was some blood inside his ear canal that was moved out of place. So obviously we're not talking about a real chabura where blood came out, where you caused him to bleed. It was something internal, right? So apparently from our Gemara, the implication certainly is that even a black and blue mark would be enough to be mechayev him. And Siv points out, there's nafkamina linyan Shabbos as well. You're chayev for making a chabura on Shabbos. Right, the Gemara discusses at the beginning. Subas, you're chayv for making a person's chayv when they make a chabura on Shabbos. What exactly the chiyuv is for? What malach it is? Whether it's dash or shochet or whatever the malach is, there is some sort of chiyuv. So that's also, it's the same question. Does chabura mean black and blue mark also, or is chabura only when you draw blood? So again, our Gemara seems to be a raya that even when you're not actually drawing blood, when it's just something internal that's going on, that it would still count as a chabura. The other issue to contend with over here, some of the Achronim discuss, is we say ein lecha boshes gadol mizeh. You cause him to lose his hair, so there's no greater boshes than that. So is that really so? There are plenty of bald people in the world, and it's not the most embarrassing thing in the whole entire world that a person is bald. So either you could say that the chiluk is, I saw somewhere, I forgot where I saw, I think Sharmitan Balacha quoted someone, that the chiluk is between someone who naturally goes bald and someone who clearly went bald in an unnatural way by someone pouring some sort of acid on his skin that causes his skin to be messed up also, so it makes it look very ugly, it's not smooth or anything like that, so that's a much more embarrassing situation. Or we're talking over here not just on top of the head but also the beard, and the beard was a very embarrassing thing, right? That's what you have in Navi when they shaved half their beards. The beard, not having a beard was an extremely embarrassing thing to have done, and that's and I guess there aren't that many people who lose the hair of their beard, so that's considered much more embarrassing than losing the hair on the head. Okay, so anyway, says the Gemara Vayter Umilsa Debayile L'Rabba Pshitale L'Abay L'Hachki Sol Rav L'Hachki. So it happens to be the issue that Rabba asked as a Shaila was Pasha to Rava in one direction and to Abay in the other direction. Exactly Rabba's Shaila, the case where you temporarily cause him devaluation, but ultimately he'll get better. So Abaye says you pay Sheves Gedola and Sheves Ketana. Sheves Gedola means the value of his hand. Sheves Ketana means the Sheves, the amount of time that he misses, that Shomer Kishuin would get paid. And Rava says, no, you only pay each day the Sheves that he misses on that day, for the work that he misses on each and every day. But you're not going to pay the value of his hand. So we see that Abaye held it was a double portion in one direction, Rava in the other direction. They each had a definitive opinion about it. Itmar, if you cut off your friend's Eved's hand, Eved Ivri's hand. So Abaye Amenosin lo Sheves Gedola la Eved v'Sheves Ketana l'Rav. So Abaye says you have to pay Sheves Gedola and Sheves Ketana. We'll pay. Say the Sheves Gedola goes to the Eved, the Sheves Ketana goes to the Rav. Rava Amar Hakol Yinasin LeEved V'Lach Ben Karka V'Rav Ochel Peiros. No, you give everything to the Eved, you buy Karka with that, and let the Rav eat the Peiros of that Karka. And then when the Eved goes free, it remains his entirely. So Pshita Piches Yitzal Atzma Ve'Yitzal Rav Lo Piches. It's clear in the following case, when you cause a devaluation to the Eved himself, but it doesn't cost the master a single penny. Hey Chidami, what's an example of that? The Paschal Reishon El Reishon Chire, that you cut off the tip of his nose or the tip of his ear, where he could still do every bit of work that he was always able to do beforehand, but it's obviously very embarrassing and degrading to the Eved himself to be missing this. So then it's Pashut that everything goes to the Eved. Piches Yitzal Rabba, Pluk to the Bayev Rabba. The Machlok Zabayev and Rabba is when you injure him in such a way that it's going to cost the master money as well. That's the issue of Abai and Rava, where Rava would say you'd buy a field and the master would get the peros, and Abai would say you'd give the Shevis Gedola to the master. So we said when it comes to payments for embarrassment, so it all depends on the Mevayish and the Mispayish. It depends who the players are. If you're dealing with someone who's a very chashva person, he may suffer much greater embarrassment than someone who's not a chashva person. So Mani Masnisen, who's the author of our Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Meir, lo Rabbi Yehuda, ela Rabbi Shimon hi. We're going to see that it can't be Rabbi Meir, it cannot be Rabbi Yehuda, it must be Rabbi Shimon. Why? Ditanan, because we have the following Mishnah. V'kulan ro'un osan kiduim b'nei chorin, she'yodu minitzeim, she'im b'nei avram yitzchak Yaakov div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, I don't care who the person is. Rich, poor, doesn't make a difference. We evaluate him as if he's somewhere in between. We evaluate him as if he were someone who used to have a lot of money and now doesn't have that much money anymore. So he has some sense of dignity because he used to have a lot of money, so he still views himself as a high-class person, but he's not really an Ashir, so we don't view him as a total Ashir. And that's true whether he's actually poor or whether he's actually rich. That's the way we view everyone who's a Ben Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. That's Rameir's opinion. So obviously Rameir clearly does not say Akalafi HaMevayesh VaMispayesh. He holds every Jew is the same. Rabbi Yehuda Omer HaGadol Lefi Godol VaKatan Lefi Katno. And Rabbi Yehuda says that it all depends on who you are. The Godol Lefi Godol, the Katan Lefi Katno. Rabbi Shimon Omer Ashir Ro Nosekidu Ebenei Chorosh Yardim Nechseim. No, Rabbi Shimon will say that if you're dealing with an Ashir, so we don't view him with the most chumradical way to view him as if he's the most chashva person. We look at him as if he's Yorid Minachasav, and Aniim Chusin Shaban, and the Ani also, we view him as the poorest of the poor. And again, this is to be makil in terms of the boshes payment that you're going to have to pay. So money. Now let's analyze who our Mishnah could be going like. So Rav Meir is a no-brainer. Ira Meir, Masnisa Ketaniya Kalafiyam Vayishan Vispayish, Rav Meir Kulubadi Adadi Ninu. Right? It's obviously not Rav Meir, because the Mishnah says clearly that you evaluate based on who the Mevayish is and who the Mispayish is, and Rav Meir very clearly says, I don't care who they are, everyone gets evaluated the same. V'i Rabbi Yehuda, what's the problem with saying it's Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda very clearly says also that we evaluate based on who the person is. So V'i Rabbi Yehuda, Masnisa Ketaniya Mevayishas Asuma Chayiv. Now it's a separate problem with saying it's Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is going to say, that's not the Mishnah we already had, but the Mishnah we're going to have soon, and we assume it's the same author, holds that if you're Mevayish the Suma, if you're Mevayish a blind person, you're Chayiv. Vil Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but Rabbi Yehuda holds Suma in Laboshes, that a Suma has no Boshes. So you Mevayish a Suma, you're going to be Pater. Right? The issue is, do you need to see that you're being embarrassed in order to sense the embarrassment? Apparently Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you don't see what's going on, you're not going to feel embarrassed, whereas the Mishnah is going to hold, no, the blind person may be blind, but he's not stupid, he's able to tell, he's able to get a sense when someone's embarrassing him. Elolav Rabbi Shimon, so that leaves only one possibility of who our Mishnah could be. It must be Rabbi Shimon. Says, well, no, I feel the same Rabbi Yehuda, it might even be going like Rabbi Yehuda, and I'm not so bothered by the stira about Suma. I feel the same Rabbi Yehuda, what does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says the Suma has no Boshes? It means he has no Boshes to take the Boshes from him. Meaning if he embarrasses someone else, we're not mechayiv him to pay for the Boshes, but to give him Boshes payment? Of course we give him Boshes payment if you embarrass him. So Rabbi Yehuda does not disagree with that point. Really? But that very same Mishnah that we're about to have on Amud Beis says that if you're Mevayish, a sleeping person, you're Chayiv, but a sleeping person who embarrasses someone else is Pater. So it makes the chilik between a sleeping person, whether he does the embarrassing or is the one that gets embarrassed, and yet when it talks about a blind person, It never makes such a chilek. V'lo katani suma shabiyesh pater. Mechal v'lo shnahachi. But it never says that if the suma embarrasses someone else, he's going to be pater in the Mishnah. So the implication is that there is no such chilek by a suma. So don't tell me that Rabbi Yehuda really agrees with the Mishnah and there's a chilek between someone who embarrasses a blind person and the blind person who does the embarrassing. So we're stuck. We have to say that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon. Man tan la hat tan rabanan. The skaven the vayish is katan beish is gadol, nos in gadol me bosho shel katan. Who's the one that authors the following braisa? The braisa that says that if you try, you intend to embarrass a katan, and you accidentally embarrass a gadol, that you have to pay the gadol, but only the amount of money that you would pay for embarrassing a katan. Or levayishes ever to beish ben chorin, nosin the ben chorin the meivoshal shel eved, that you would pay the ben chorin, but only the amount you would pay for embarrassing an eved. So who's the author of that? Money. Lo ramei v'lo ravid v'lo rav shimon. Can't be any of them. Kasal kataita katan katan v'lchasim gadol gadol v'lchasim. Oh yeah. By the way, we're assuming that the words katan and gadol don't mean kid and adult. Katan and gadol over here means poor person and rich person. So now, given that background, now we know that this brisa can't be going according to anybody. Because Rameir would say, I don't care if a person's rich or poor, it's all the same amount. So what do you mean? You pay the gadol, but only the amount of money you would have paid a katan. They all get paid the same. Rabbi Yehuda holds avadim have no boshes in the first place. So it doesn't make sense to say you would pay the ben chorin the amount of boshes that normally you would have paid an eved. That would be zero, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon amar neskaven levayishesel biyishesel pater. And it can't be Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon's general shita about having kavana to embarrass someone and embarrassing somebody else is that you're pater. So my time, why does Rabbi Shimon hold that way, that you're pater when you have kavana to embarrass one guy and you embarrass the other guy? Kiktala, because it's just like murder. Maktala adam neskaven leidchsev varav lo v'kama lav. Just like by murder, it's until you have kavana for that person, as the pasuk says, va'arav lo v'kama lav, that you wait an ambush for him. Actually, is kavin lo, that you have to have kavana for him. Boshes nami adam mechavin leidchsev v'shulcha yado v'chzika b'mavushav. Actually, is kavin lo. So you have a similar drasha by boshes as well, that you need to have kavana. So the bottom line is that brisa that says if you're mivayish if you're trying to be mivayish a katan, you're mivayish a gadol, trying to be mivayish an evad, you're mivayish a bnei chorin, that you pay him what you intended to do and not what you did, it can't be going like anybody. So says the Gemara, no. Answer number one, Liolam Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe it could be going like Rabbi Yehuda. When do we say that an Eved doesn't have boshes? You would never actually pay boshes payment to an Eved. But he does have feelings, so we know that he does feel some sense of embarrassment. So in terms of evaluating what that embarrassment would theoretically be worth, if there were any chiyuv to pay, that we can do. We can evaluate how much embarrassment he has. We're just never going to actually have to pay the Eved. Over here, you're not paying the Eved. You're paying a Ben Chorin, but you're going to evaluate, you're only going to pay the Ben Chorin the amount of money that the boshes of the Eved is worth. Not the amount of money you would pay in Eved. You're never going to actually pay in Eved. So that's how the Brisa could be going like Rabbi Yehuda. Viva Yisema, Filutem Rameir. The other possibility is the Brisa is going like Rameir, where Rameir doesn't differentiate between different levels of wealth. Misavr, Gadol, Gadol, Melchasim, Katan, Katan, Melchasim. Just take away the assumption. We started the whole conversation with an assumption that when the Brisa refers to a Gadol and a Katan, that we're not talking about an adult and a child. But that's a crazy assumption. No, Gadol, Gadol, Mamish, Katan, Katan, Mamish. No, when the Brisa talks about a gadol and a katan, it means gadol and a katan. It's not so crazy. So says Gemara, the katan barboshesu, meaning obviously there was something that led the brisa that led us to not want to understand gadol as being gadol mamish and katan as being katan mamish, and that is that we generally assume a katan doesn't have any boshes. So now the Gemara, now that you're reading it as gadol gadol mamish and katan katan mamish, the Gemara is going to say, come on, a katan has boshes. There's any embarrassment by a child, the katan bar boshesu, this child really have boshes? Says Gemara, in, yeah, he does. Kedam Rav Papa, the michlum meyum michlum. There are different levels of boshes. Sometimes when a katan does something embarrassing, so a child could run around without his clothes on if he's a young enough child and he doesn't feel any sense of busha, right, at a young enough age. A child could do something that an adult would find embarrassing, but a child won't feel a sense of embarrassment. But if you make fun of a child and the child knows he's being made fun of, He's going to be embarrassed. There's a difference between someone just being embarrassed by his own behavior and someone being embarrassed by someone else mocking him, by someone else making fun of him. Michlul meyu michlam. You make fun of him, Rav Papa says in a different context, which we're going to see soon, that when you make fun of him, he feels the embarrassment. Hachanami de michlul mulei umichlam. When you make fun of him, he does feel the embarrassment, right? That's Rashi says, k'shmaskirin lo boshes machlimin lo sabah mitztayer. When you mention the embarrassing activity he did, and you make a big deal out of it, so then he's going to feel a sense of embarrassment, even though he didn't feel a sense of embarrassment doing it, because he's a child, but still, children have feelings too. So important to remember, children have feelings too, so he's going to feel a sense of embarrassment that you would be able to evaluate. Okay, new Mishnah. If you embarrass someone who's naked, someone who's blind, or someone who's sleeping, you're still going to be chayiv. But if a sleeping person was mevayish somebody else, so then he's going to be pater. So if a person just fell off a roof and damages someone and embarrasses them, you're chayv on the nezek, but you're pater on the boches because he didn't have kavana. And like we said before, that the chiyuv for boches is only when you have kavana to do the boches. The Rashash over here on the Mishnah, Vaishas Yashin Chayev, Rashash quotes from the Tosos Yantiv that Mashum Midvarvitz, the implication of Tosos Yantiv is Shem He'erimo Keshu Yashan, Vachar Kach Kiso Kodem Sheheketz. What if you take off a guy's clothing while he's sleeping and then you put his clothing back on before he wakes up? So, Dinestali Kabusha, so the Busha is gone by the time he wakes up. Even though he knew once he woke up someone told him what you did to him, pater. The Tos Yontif implies that you're absolutely pater. And the Tos Yontif says when a person is sleeping, it's like he's dead. So what you do to him while he's sleeping, if he's never able to feel the embarrassment, so you're going to be pater from. Says Rashash, ve'enu nachon klal, but that's totally incorrect. The Gemara is going to discuss a case of a guy who fell asleep, you embarrassed him while he was sleeping, and then he died. He never woke up, so he never got to feel the embarrassment. This is different. This is not, he never got to feel the embarrassment. True, by the time he wakes up, he's not in the situation, he's not in the matzav of being embarrassed, but he does sense the embarrassment that he had for when he was sleeping. This cuts to the core of how you view a sleeping person. Is a sleeping person a non-entity? And you're not going to really pay for anything you did to him while he's sleeping. What you're paying for is what you did to him for when he wakes up. It's the fact that he woke up without clothes on that you're paying for. It's not the fact that he, which would be the Tos Yontif view, or do you say like the Rosh Hashanah's view is that no, a sleeping person is an entity that has to be dealt with, and that has to be, we've had a similar discussion in the past in regards to a sleeping person and his chiyuv and mitzvos, right? Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach discusses in the Miluim, in the back of Halicha Shlomo, what if you have a person falls asleep in a sukkah like he's supposed to, in sukkah and sukkis, can you, and there's no room in the sukkah for you to sleep. Can you pick him up while he's sleeping, remove him from the sukkah, and you go sleep in the sukkah? Because after all, now he's sleeping. He's not chayiv in mitzvahs. So it's not his problem. So what's the chiyuv of sleeping in the sukkah then? The chiyuv is going to sleep in the sukkah. But once he fell asleep, so now maybe he's a non-entity. It doesn't matter. He has no chiyuvin. So that's a similar type of issue. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Tan Rabban, bisho arum chayiv, einu dama bisho arum levisho lavush. If you embarrass a person while he's naked, you're chayiv, and you can't compare embarrassing someone who's naked to embarrassing someone who's wearing clothing. So bisho bebeis amerchatz chayiv ein adum, bisho beis amerchatz bisho b'shuk. If you embarrass someone in the beis amerchatz, you're chayiv, and you can't compare embarrassing someone in the beis amerchatz to embarrassing someone in a public place. Amar mar bisho arum chayiv, arum bar boshasu. What? You embarrass a person who's naked, you're going to be chayiv? He's obviously not someone who experiences any sort of busha. If he was, he wouldn't be naked. Right? What's he walking around naked for? That's how Rashi understands the kasha. Bitmiya. Kivan de'in mak v'dei lecharim b'fnei b'nei adam. Mi ava barboshes. The kind of guy who's not embarrassed to walk around naked in front of people, he's obviously not a barboshes. Tulsa says, kasha l'perusho. Maisha d'parcha b'raisa avlel mifrach ha-masisna k'taniyam v'ayisha sarum chayiv. Why are we asking that only in the b'raisa? You should ask that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if you're mevayish and arum, you're chayiv. So it says, tells us now, it's not the kasha. V'nil v'farish tam asnisan l'parach, d'pshita d'arum barboshes hu imrokik bo'osatro. No, It's pashut that an arum is a bar boshes, who if you do something, maybe a guy is just not embarrassed about his body, he's not embarrassed about being naked. It doesn't mean he's not going to be embarrassed when you spit in his face, right? When you do something else and embarrass him in a different way, he still might be embarrassed. So that we have no problem with. But the lashon of the braisa is mashma, that you are mevayish him by uncovering his body, by making him naked. So a guy who walks around naked all the time and then you uncover his body, so that's what the Gemara is asking. So he's a barboshes in that way? So Amrav Papa, my Arum da asa zika karchinu lamane vasuhu dalinu tfeu vayshe. No, the case of Arum over here is that a wind came and it blew his clothing away, unraveled his clothing a little bit, and then you came and you pulled it off all the way. So that's a case of an Arum being embarrassing an Arum by making him an Arum, by removing his clothing. So because he didn't do it on purpose. Tulsa says, Avlim hu atzmo dalinu b'chaverev dalinu tfei. The implication is if the guy himself starts unwrapping his clothing and you come and you unwrap it even more, pater, kivin shezeh ein makbid. So then you're going to be pater, because the guy obviously shows he's not makbid. That's a very questionable assertion. Maybe he's not makbid to be partially naked, but he is makbid to be totally naked. Right? So the Tosos in his first day at least assumes that no, if a guy is not makbid about being partially naked, so that's a person who has no sense of busha, so in terms of nakedness, and you can go and take off the rest and so you're not going to be chayiv. Or maybe stam, we pick a case of a wind blowing just because that's the more common case. But maybe just because he's not embarrassed to be partially naked, maybe he would be embarrassed to be totally naked. So we said if you embarrass him in the Beis HaMerchatz, you're chayiv. So Beis HaMerchatz bar boshes, so can he become embarrassed in the Beis HaMerchatz? So Rav Papa Shabishal Gavanar. No, it's right by the riverbank where people can see. It's out in the open. What if you embarrass him while he's sleeping and then he dies? What's the din then? He dies in his sleep. Is the payment of boshes because of the embarrassment he experiences? And this guy never gets to experience the embarrassment because he never wakes up and notices it. Or maybe it's the degradation to the person. It's not the experience of embarrassment. It's that you did something degrading to him, and you did. So Tashma, Rameiro Mecherish Katan Yeshlan Boshes, Shote in La Boshes. Cherish Katan have Boshes, Shote does not. So yeah, Bishlam Mishum Zilusa handled the Katani Katan. If you say that it's just doing something degrading, so I understand why Katan has Boshes. Eliyam Mishum Kisufa. Katan bar boshes hu. But if it's about him feeling embarrassment, the katan feels embarrassment. Elamai, so says Gemara, but what's the alternative? Mishum zilusa. It's the fact that you degraded him, then afilu shotanami. Then even a shota should be chayav for. Says Gemara, amri shota in the chaboshes gdol mizu. Being a shota is the ultimate embarrassment, so there's no more degrading thing than already being a shota. But mikal makam nishom inadim mishum zilusa hu. Dim mishum kisufa, katan bar kisufa hu. So the Gemara says, but still, we should see clearly that it's degrading him, and not the fact that he senses embarrassment, because a katan doesn't sense any embarrassment. Says Gemara, yes, a katan does. We said before, a katan absolutely does sense embarrassment when you make a big deal out of it. Rav Papa Amar Hachi coming by lay mishum kisufa didehu v'mayislei odum mishum boshes mishpacha. When the guy dies in his sleep, the issue is it his own embarrassment or the embarrassment of his family to see a family member go through that embarrassment? Tashma cherish v'katan yesh l'boshes shote in l'boshes. If it's a family embarrassment, I understand why we say katan. But if it's his own embarrassment, the katan doesn't sense that. But if it's about the b'nei mishpacha, then the shota should also have to pay for the embarrassment. No, the shota you'll never have to pay, because the fact that he is a shota is the ultimate embarrassment. But still, you see clearly that it's about the boshes mishpacha, because otherwise the katan wouldn't be in the picture over here. So Amar Papa in the michlumei umichlum. No, the katan absolutely can experience embarrassment because you make a big deal out of it. Vatanya, Rabbi Yomer, cherish yesh lo boshes shalte in lo boshes katan pam yesh lo pam main lo vad michlumei michlum vad michlumei v'lo michlum katan. Some katanim do have boshes, some don't. If they get embarrassed when you go out of your way to embarrass them, that katan does have boshes. If they don't get embarrassed, then they don't have boshes.